This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on a mandate. Get on. Welcome to the best hour or so in podcast history. It is Reasonable Doubt. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Mark Garagus over there. Good to see you, my friend.
I was very upset coming here today at first.
Mm-hmm.
I had a text from Paulette.
Mm-hmm.
Lynette says, anytime it starts with Lynette says, I don't know why I get kind of a tight feeling in my stomach. Mm-hmm. I don't know like what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually you've done something, you know, more heroic than I've done, or you've done this or that. And then it was like, they're moving. And then I started to feel bad. And then I texted back, where? And then I realized it's just another interlockinata movement. Okay.
Hopefully up the street, trying to work it out. Yeah, I love that neighborhood. I'm never going anywhere. But I got to say, I just got back from the Pacific Northwest, and it's pretty damn amazing over there.
Yeah, but the problem with the Pacific Northwest is 9 months a year, you don't want to be there.
Yeah, I know. You know what I've realized, and it's sort of unfair, and it's the conundrum of life, which is this, and it's, I think it needs to be stated so that everyone can remain sane, and there'll be no further attempts on your own life. First, I want to thank today's sponsor, TommyJohn.com/Adam, and Lisa, Lisa.com/Doubt. The promo code Doubt. We just endured weeks and weeks of hot, dry, desert-like weather.
Right.
I then just got back from Seattle and the Puget Sound and parts of Canada and that whole realm. And every time I went outside and felt the cold, sort of cool sea air with the clouds overhead, I thought to myself, oh, man, this feels great. And then even when it started raining, I thought, oh, man, this feels great because I've been there for 10 minutes.
Right.
Everyone else who lived there is pissed off because they got a deal. They just got their car washed yesterday.
Exactly.
And now they're screwed again. So the question in life isn't what's better weather. It's how fast can you get from one climate to another?
Which is, there's no place that is comparable to Southern California.
Right. And I realized that I started sort of fantasizing about, you know, you hear Elon Musk or the Hyperloop and this, you know, vacuum train and all
right.
this kind of stuff. I started realizing, after going through, you know, when you get into month number three of the super dry, arid sort of valley, San Fernando Valley heat, and all that kind of stuff, I literally just need to step into a phone booth where they pump in Pacific Northwest air, and I would stand there for 10 minutes, and then I'd come out and be happy again, and then I'd go back in.
But you kind of recalibrate yourself. Gets
yeah.
you back to center.
I think there's a version of this that applies with women as well. Oftentimes when guys go, why would he cheat on her? It's like, well, he'd been living in California for a long time.
I always said when the husband of Halle Berry or David Beckham with Posh, or you can just tick them all off. It's because that's how guys are hardwired. I mean, what can you say?
The best is many years ago, Michelle Pfeiffer's husband cheated on her, and Michelle Pfeiffer's husband was that actor who was like in that talking robot movie or whatever it was. He's got a weird first name, so I can never remember. He played the Indian, Eastern Indian, Matt, probably one of your favorite movies growing up, like Big Howl 6 or whatever that stupid talking robot movie was. But this guy has a big schnoz, he's short, his eyes are a little too close together, and this guy figured out a way to cheat on a 37-year-old Michelle Pfeiffer. So, ladies, it can be done.
It's absolutely
seems like Nelson something. What's his name?
Is it Fisher Stevens?
Fisher Stevens. Yeah, Fisher's his first name.
There you go. And yeah, Short Circuit. That one brings me back.
I know. I knew you'd know. You got that on Laserdisc at home somewhere, right? He played an Indian guy that I don't think you could do that in today's
climate.
I seem
to recall it is like horrifically racist looking
back
on it.
He needs more oil in his tank. It's a white guy with like red makeup smeared on his face. All right.
I don't know how you get along with that. But you know, everybody wants to talk about Kavanaugh. We're going to talk about Kavanaugh.
Oh, Kavanaugh.
Everybody
yeah.
wants to talk about Trump declassifying Russian documents. We're going to talk about that. Everybody yeah. wants to talk about $200 billion in tariffs put on China. We may talk about that. But the best story, do you know the actress? Matt, do you know the actress? Sam Bing Bing?
No.
Sam Bing Bing, who's probably the biggest actress in China, the equivalent of a 37-year-old Michelle Pfeiffer.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Bing Bing is Bing Bang gone. She has disappeared.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I just saw where they stripped CNN China of the story on Sam Bing Bing being gone. And she was apparently being investigated for tax fraud.
In China.
And apparently, has she been found, Matt?
No, I'm not seeing anything on that yet, but it does appear her name is Fan Bing Bing.
Fan Bing Bing.
Fan Bing Bing. Bing. What?
F-A-N.
That's what this Wikipedia is saying here.
Fan Bing Bing.
I'll keep looking.
And Bing Bang gone.
What is the tax code in China? And I don't know anyone who knows it, but they go, like, you pay half or you pay more than half?
I don't know the percentage, but apparently she's part of, allegedly, a tax scam in China amongst celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called the Yin Yang scam.
Mm-hmm.
Although Matt may correct me and tell me it's really the Fin Fang scam.
Sorry about that.
But I think it's the Yin Yang scam. Well, I got her name wrong. Maybe I was protecting the innocent.
Mm-hmm.
But the Yin Yang scam is you sign one contract. For like you're an endorser, you know,
right.
She's apparently an endorser for Louis Vuitton or
right.
Alexanani or whatever it is. And then that you show that contract to the government, you pay taxes on that contract.
Right.
Then the government, you bait and switch them basically.
Right.
Then you sign the real contract, the
right.
Yang.
Right.
And the Yang is basically tax free because you never report the Yang because you reported the Yin.
Right. And obviously the first one is quite a bit lower.
Look at you as expert.
I may qualify you as an expert
on tax fraud.
And the first one is unknowable because in a world where you could go, look, you sold your brother your Ferrari and you charged him $5. Come on, that's a $175,000 automobile. Sorry, you don't get to charge him $5. Or you got a roof put on your house and you say you paid $189 for it. No, that's a $40,000 roofing job. You can quantify these things.
Right.
Spokesperson for a liquor.
Right. How do you quantify that? How do you monetize that? I mean, it's anything. It's negotiable.
You could pay on a low end, you know, $100,000 to a celebrity. You could pay $10 million to George Clooney. Like, and so who's to say? Now, I guess you can kind of go, how much should George Clooney get for that endorsement? And you go $100,000 and someone would go, that's Corolla money. That's not Clooney money. But there's no way to really definitively sort of put a number on it. And the government's probably not that sophisticated in those matters anyway.
Right. If the money is being transferred somewhere offshore, I think that you're probably – have you looked it up, Matt?
Still trying to find it here.
What do you think the end game
is when they disappear?
China?
Oh, I think this is China's learned from Saudi Arabia. Remember when they did the cleansing there with MBS or whatever his name is, that he arrested all of his cousins
right.
and the rest of the power structure? You wait until they fess up the money and do a confession, and then you let them go.
Can I, you know, China has a weird. So here's what, in general. I mean, when it comes to dealing with people, we're sort of I've been talking about this or thinking about it a lot. Like, it's sort of like you can't really have a rational argument with a devout born-again Christian because they're telling you that the Earth is 3,000 years old and you're showing them fossils with carbon dating and they're telling you you don't know what you're talking about.
That's absolutely
so
correct.
Good luck with that person.
Right.
Then there's the people that have like Trump derangement syndrome.
Exactly. Or no matter what he's done. The economy, it's illusory. It's not good. Right,
right, right. And so that's its own religion.
Right.
It literally filled the void of traditional religion. So you're not going to discuss he's bragging about sexually assaulting women and, blah, 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 you know, you'll never get through to them. You'll never get through to them. That's, they know what they know. When there's whole nations who know what they know. The good news about our nation is we're such a mixed bag of nuts that for everybody who knows what they know, there's somebody else who knows what they know, and it cancels out their vote. If you really just think about it, there's the guys with the Trump derangement syndrome. They're over here. There's the born-again Christian guys over here. They're going to cancel each other out, or at least prevent the other from taking over and ruling the world.
In a common sense way, you've distilled down exactly what the framers thought by checks and balances, by having separation of powers, by having, you know, the original idea of the House of Representatives was kind of this flatten it out so you get 435 views. Then you got the Senate, which is 100 and it's more stately. And then in national elections, it's not the popular vote. You've got the, kind of this governor that is the Electoral College. So
right.
that's a Democratic Republic.
I worry about the Chinas of the world because, A, everyone's the same. There's no bag of nuts that's going to cancel out the other bag of nuts. And then B, they have a kind of a pride, a sort of a national pride that transcends making a deal, meaning most folks that you deal with and most folks that I deal with and that the world deals with, which is you offer them some incentive and they will do what you want them to do because they're being incentivized to do it.
Right.
Now, with the Middle East, all bets are off because, again, you're dealing with a kind of a mindset that transcends whatever it is. You know, when you go, look, I just want to get along. You want to get along. You want to raise your kids. I want to raise my kids. We everyone wants to get paid and watch a little football on Sundays. Let's relax. I go, no, we're blowing up the pizza parlor because there is no you can if somebody's reasonable, somebody's rational, or somebody responds to the same incentives that you do, then you can just go offer them some incentive to do it or not to do it.
And which is, I think, why, coming back to what the first comment was, why the story attracted me is because they had the strip. They didn't want people to find out about this story. But in this day and age, that's almost antiquated because how are you going to filter out when everybody's got a smartphone, everybody's got a knockoff smartphone in a place like China? That you get access to the internet, you're never going to be able to block that everywhere
right.
because somebody's going to hack onto it. That freedom of information of ideas mm-hmm. that you're talking about that flows out there, I think that's what will ultimately be the downfall of this kind of tyranny that goes on there.
But, you know, you think about the North Koreas and you think about the Russias and you think about the Chinas and they sort of have one thing in common, which is nationalistic pride.
Right.
They sort of want to be, you know, the problem with Russia is just pride. Like they don't care how many of their people are starving. They want you under their boot. And that doesn't serve them. It doesn't serve their neighbors. It's just.
Well, it's an interesting kind of play that's happening in Europe now between Brexit. And now the rise in Italy of the guys on the Time magazine cover, whose name I've got to block on, the person that Macron bet. You're seeing a lot of people who the immigration issue and the nationalist issue becomes kind of this boiling pot of pushing people in different directions. Whereas, as you've described
Matteo
it.
Matteo Salvini.
Yeah, on the cover of Time magazine,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And incredibly popular. And if he's got his way, I was watching an interview, his kind of ethos is to destroy the euro, you know, as opposed to bringing it together as a group. It's almost we're going to go our own way. He's going to have his own Italian exit.
Well, I think call me old fashioned, but I like, especially as a car guy, I like that there's a difference between German cars English cars and Italian cars because they're all from different parts that have their own influences and styles and flair. And, you know, the Germans are like more practical.
It's an interesting way to look at it because both of us are car guys.
Right.
And growing up, the Porsche and the German car. And by the way, somebody, I read an article today that was fascinating. The greatest rebranding of all time is the Volkswagen Beetle. The great to turn it from kind of a Nazi staple into a hippie counterculture car was the greatest rebranding of all time.
That's anyway, that's pretty good. Yeah. Maybe second only to Don King, who was convicted of stomping a man to death, owed him $40 in St. Louis, and now all of a sudden he's like Uncle Don. Everyone loves him. Only in America.
Only in America. That's right. Don, right? And it's but the interesting thing about the cars, you're absolutely right. You can tell by the particular car, like the Range Rovers of the 80s
right,
were the biggest pieces of crap known to man. And English cars, you know, in a certain period were
right.
awful.
Right.
Then all of a sudden now, I mean, I love the Range Rover. I mean, right. it's a great car. The German Porsche, you can see almost.
But here's the big picture. I would not want to drive a Euro car, a car where all the European nations got together, contributed 10%, and made one big beige blob. I like the idea that you can go Ferrari, or you can go Porsche, or you can go Aston Martin or Jaguar or whoever's pumping it out over there. So in a way, I sort of like the old version of Europe versus the one big It Takes a Village. But let's talk Kavanaugh.
Yeah. Wait, before we talk Kavanaugh, you know what I got? Tommy John.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't give an F. Not an F. He gives you three Fs.
Right.
Fabric, fit, and function. Proprietary facts. You know, in this, who wrote this ad? Because I'm going to grade their grammar and their spelling.
It's not going to be good.
Okay, it's not going to be good. It's not propriety. Propriety fabric, because a propriety fabric, like, does the fabric perform well, or is it proprietary, like it's a fabric? There you go. Thank you, Matt. Proprietary fabrics that perform like nothing you've ever worn before. No wedgie guarantee, comfortable stay-put waistbands, luxuriously soft, feather light. It's so true. Moisture wicking, breathable fabrics designed to move with you. No bunching, no riding up. If you don't love your first pair, and it's impossible. I don't know that they've ever gotten a refund. Get a full refund with them. Best pair of you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee, including their new women's underwear. I haven't seen these. Have they sent them to Lynette or Paulette?
I think Gina's got some.
Let's model. She should be the celebrity spokesperson. Includes their new women's underwear that sold out in, guess this, 6 weeks?
6 weeks.
Fully back in stock, Tommy John, no adjustment needed, right, Matt?
That's right. Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off, TommyJohn.com/Adam.
So okay, as you listen to this, I've been traveling and we've been out of town and I've not kept up on the Kavanaugh stuff. I heard a little rumblings about some stuff from high school.
Yeah, let me give you the story because I was on CNN. As we're taping this, I was on CNN last night talking about it. And so this is what was happening. It looked like there was going to be a vote. When you hear this on Saturday, it was scheduled for 2 days before on Thursday. And he had weathered pretty much the storm. It looked like he was going to come out of committee, the Judiciary Committee, which is split Republican Democrat with one favoring the Republicans. Looked like he was going to get out of committee with an endorsement. They go to a vote on Thursday, last Thursday, and he would have been confirmed. Apparently, in July, Senator Feinstein got a letter, and this letter was from a woman who wanted to remain anonymous. And the letter details a supposed or alleged a sexual assault when Kavanaugh was in high school, and names another person who I won't throw into the mix, but names the other person. Rather than bring it up, then tell the other senators on the committee rather than tell the investigators, because they do have investigators.
What's Kavanaugh's age?
53.
Okay, so this is, I don't know, 45 years ago, let's say.
No, 35.
Oh, sorry, 35, 45. Yeah. 35 years ago. Or less.
Right. Depending. And she turns it over to the
FBI.
Or
more, I should say. Because if 35, 15,
yeah, yeah, it could have been 18. Could have been 6. Exactly. Okay. And he's a smart guy. He could have skipped a grade. So she turns it over to the FBI. Somehow, she then brings it to everyone's attention, this, as you're listening to this, a week ago. And the immediate complaints, and first of all, it's anonymous. Then, apparently, the woman gets through, she says, a confluence of factors, and her name is Blasey Ford. She's a professor at a college that is somehow affiliated with Stanford in the Bay Area. I was suspecting Menlo, but it may be something else. I haven't done that much research into it, but she gets convinced by WAPO, the Washington Post, to come out and tell her story and identify herself. So now you've got a named accuser. So for those of you old enough to know, you're setting the stage for an Anita Hill, Clarence Thomas kind of confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
Question is, are they going to slow? Oh, last weekend, the big controversy was, the reason I was on CNN, are they going to slow this down? How are people reacting? Are the two Republican female senators, Murkowski and Collins, are they going to stick with the Republicans? Because if they don't, then this isn't going to be, he's not going to get confirmed. Fast forward to Monday morning, and Trump does a press conference or impromptu takes questions and says basically that both sides deserve a hearing. And that seems to be the mantra now. And it looks like when you're listening to this, this coming Monday, they're going to hear from both sides. The allegation is that he was drunk. She was at a party. They held her down. Copped a feel outside of her clothing. She was scared she was going to get inadvertently killed, and she was traumatized. She's apparently passed the polygraph. And in 2012, she and her husband went to couples therapy, and they told the therapist this, although the therapist notes somehow were already produced, and in the therapist notes, it talks about four and doesn't mention the name of the person who did the assault. So just to bring you up to speed.
What was the extent of the assault?
Apparently, pushed down on the bed, a door, a false imprisonment, meaning the door was not allowed to leave the room, screaming, hand over the mouth, and a sexual assault.
Oh, so had sex, had intercourse.
I don't think they had intercourse. I do not think that that's the story. I think it was a cop and a feel over a... over clothing.
I couldn't figure out if it was the cop of the feel or that you were doing a thing. I wasn't sure if it was hand over mouth, hand over sweater. But
right.
Maybe
I think
both.
It was both. And Matt will correct me. That's when he stops eating and he's making me hungry over there.
I'm one of the rare individuals that draws a distinction between rape, meaning intercourse rape, and over the sweater titty grabs.
No, well, the law makes a distinction.
They should. Penetration. I know. No one in the news seems to anymore. It's just sexual assault. And this is the problem. The problem is when you upgrade everything to sexual assault and everything to racism and everything to homophobia and everything to everything, that works temporarily. And then eventually it hurts you because people start downgrading when they hear it because they don't think it's sexual assault as they know it. And when it was sexual assault as we knew it, it still gets downgraded, unfortunately. That's the problem, I think, with turning everything into a 10.
And it's also, and I confess this when I was being interviewed, there also are a number of things that bother me about the presentation in the news. I mean, obviously, we both have daughters. Nobody would want this to happen to their daughter. Whether it was over a sweater or whether it was intercourse, equally abhorrent. The problem is when you hear, okay, she passed the polygraph. Well, okay, that's inadmissible. Second is, okay, there's therapist notes. Okay, the therapist notes, by any calculations, are 30 years after the fact. Therapist notes are never going to be admissible in any proceeding. So the idea that you've got therapist notes, if the therapist notes were in real time, happened as a fresh complaint, for instance, in California, you'd have an argument that they're admissible, that it's a fresh complaint, a present recollection recorded. I mean, you could have 10 different exceptions to the hearsay rule. 30 years later in couples counseling with your husband is not going to fly. That's just not going to – I mean,
Yeah, well, they don't – I guess they don't need it to fly. They just need it to look like an airplane.
Yeah, except now they say we want a full and fair hearing. And I don't know. This troubles me because I admit to being torn by all of this. Matt, did you have information to impart?
Yeah. So it does say here from that Washington Post, this is a quote about what Mr. Kavanaugh did. While his friends watched, she said, Kavanaugh pinned her to a bed on her back and groped her over her clothes, grinding his body against hers and clumsily attempting to pull off her one-piece bathing suit and the clothing she wore over it. When she tried to scream, she said he put his hand over her mouth.
Let me tell you why I'm conflicted, and you can unpack this for me. I'm conflicted because having done criminal defense for decades, I strongly believe in the idea of a statute of limitations. I think that there is a – I've seen way too many people who have been accused of things. I've defended way too many people who have been accused of things that there should have been a shorter statute of limitations rather than something that just pops up in a custody dispute, for instance, where I've seen guys' lives ruined by – a ex-wife or soon-to-be ex-wife turning the kid against the father and claiming sure. that he sexually abused him. It was one of my first jury trials that I tried out in Norwalk. So that drives me crazy. I've also seen women who bottle it up, who repress it, and I've represented them. And it's real. I mean, real in the sense that they believe it's real, and they convey it as if it's real. And famous, I've represented people who nobody knows, and some of the most famous women in the world who believe themselves to be absolute victims. I've got the one thing I'm not conflicted about is I'm completely mystified, and I wish she'd come out and say why Dianne Feinstein sat back and okay, she turns it over to the FBI. Well, the woman said she wanted to remain anonymous. Why are you turning over to the FBI? If the woman wanted to remain anonymous, why is she giving it to the senator who's on the committee who's going to be doing this thing? If the woman wanted to remain anonymous, then you owed it to the rest of the committee to say, hey, wait a second here. There's somebody here. I'm turning it over to the FBI, which is fine. That's your right to do. Let it get investigated. But at the same time, don't go through this whole hearing and then release it at the 11th hour. I feel Chuck Grassley's pain on that because by all accounts, Grassley, who I can't disagree with more on certain subjects, has tried to conduct over the years fair hearings. So I don't understand what Feinstein was doing. And literally, I don't know if it's a coincidence. Until Kevin DeLeon called her out on this, this thing got no traction. And Kevin DeLeon is the next state senator who is running against her in the primary. So that troubles me and makes it look like it has the appearance of being a political stunt. And that also is conflicting to me because you don't want, if this is legit, you don't want somebody diminished by it looking like it's a political sideshow.
Well, what are we talking about? First off, assault, whether you guys like it or not, has taken on a new meaning. The stuff that used to be chicken fights and pulled the bikini top off in the swimming pool when the parents are out is now rape and assault. Back in the day, that was horseplay with I don't know what, but it was not defined as we define it now. We did not define a lot of the stuff that took place in many of our childhoods and youth and, like I said, pool parties and things of that nature. Half of the stuff, by the way, male and female. So the stuff, well, half yeah, the stuff I did to my male friend. Listen,
and what your male friends did to you, right?
Well, that took a turn for the macabre and the occult. Like yeah. that would confuse yours. You'd never stop throwing up. No, what happened to me again? That was beyond assault. That was ritualistic, occult, abusive. Like I mean, that was Charles Manson. Stuff that was like you know when they initiate guys into MS-13, like the street beatdowns and stuff. That was me. So the problem,
right. We had the same thing. I mean, you know, I know I was in La Cañada, but when you go to Pasadena and you get jumped or you get into the fights, or you and I have talked about it, or the Rock Wars. Remember the Rock Wars?
Well, you take, for instance, take the ubiquitous wedgie.
Yeah.
When I was young, you'd get a wedgie, and I mean, those guys were hanging you up on lockers. Exactly. Sometimes they'd tear the underpants. I mean, there was...
How about swirlies? You did a swirly now, it'd be attempted murder.
Put the guy's head in the toilet.
Head in the toilet and flushing until he has the Foster Freeze hairdo? That's literally would be attempted murder today.
Listen, imagine this description. We had in the back of North Hollywood High for the varsity football team, they had this room called the cage. And the cage was floor to ceiling, thick grade. It was like protective bars they put over the windows of outside school. It wasn't bars. It was like super high grade fencing, but you couldn't get through it. It's like, like minimum security prison stuff, right. You know, and they had a swinging door on it. The swinging door was missing the doorknob. And if you slammed it shut, you couldn't get out until someone went and got the needle nose pliers and undid it. I don't know why. They never fixed it. And they had these lockers that you could stand on top of. They're about 6-7 feet off the ground. And you could literally hop from one locker to the next locker to the next locker. Well, we'd throw my buddy Chris up top. We'd throw one of the guys in the cage. And then he would piss on them from up on top of the lockers. And there's nothing they could do because they couldn't get out of the cage. And there's nowhere they could escape from him in the cage because he just jumped to the next bank of lockers and be standing over them. Again, that kind of stuff would get you arrested, obviously, today.
Oh, today you'd be detained.
So there was a sexual version of this, and then there was a physical version, male and female, version of it. Now this stuff has turned into rape and assault and sexual assault. And look, you can argue that that's progress. But just like we used to say colored people or Negro, that's what we said. That's just sort of how the world worked back then. And you can go, well, that's not right. And you go, yeah, it isn't. But nobody said anything. And there was a lot of that kind of shenanigans going on back then. And back then, it wasn't labeled as sexual assault, rape, or whatever.
Well, I used to.
Whatever we're labeling it now.
That thing that they used to make you go through, and teachers would have you do it, where you'd have like five guys stand there with paddles, and you'd have to crawl through them as they each swatted your ass as you go through. If you did that today, can you imagine what would happen? They would shut down the school district. They'd burn the school to the ground.
So what Kavanaugh did, when did he – I'm always interested in like – how does he stop? How does it end? You know, everyone else goes, oh, you do this, you know, you're a criminal. My feeling is did he get up? Did he leave? Did they go, all right, that's enough? Or let her leave?
We're going to find out in 2 days. I also got excoriated because I made the comment, and I won't say what my nickname was for him during Whitewater, but he was on Ken Starr's Whitewater team. Brett was.
Kavanaugh,
yeah. And, you know, it's a pretty tight-knit group of guys. It was Hick Ewing down there, Mark Barrett and Julie Myers, and Kavanaugh and Mike Emick, who just passed away, Charles Bacali. And if you were to have asked me, in my humble opinion, who was the least likely to have pinned down some woman in a... at a high school party, drunk, and put his hand over her face, it clearly he would not have been my top three.
But this is a outside,
and I readily admit, apologies to anyone who's listening who feels otherwise, that somehow I can't express that opinion. But we did interact.
Well, look, that's the other thing. First off, I draw a distinction between being violated and raped and being groped outside of your clothing. The reason I draw a distinction between it is because there's a huge distinction between it. I do that. That's my job. I mean, that's a human's job. That's the law's job. That's your job. That's cops' jobs. Right. We have to figure out the difference between murder one and manslaughter. We don't like that there's a dead body. We want everyone punished. And we're trying to figure out the severity of the punishment.
Correct.
By whether they laid in wait or whether they were drunk driving and it was raining outside. We have to try to discern that. If we just decide everything is murder one, then the whole system is gone collapse. Because that's what the system is here for.
Exactly.
The system is not here to say anyone who's ever taken another human being's life has to go, has to be, you
right,
know.
Because if you say that, then there is no such thing as self-defense. Because right. There's a dead body, right. You're the one who's standing, you committed the act. I don't want to hear what your excuse is. You killed somebody.
So as far as Kavanaugh goes, A, does it matter if he was 18 or 17, is it a minor and an adult? Does that factor in?
If it was the law, and the law at the time, it would have mattered greatly, because the law at the time was that would have been, he probably would have been 654'd, which is, if that had been reported, I would say provision, for instance, that at least in California, the code section, that they would have just put the case over for a period of time. If you don't do anything bad, the case gets permanently dismissed, sealed, and nobody know a thing about it.
Is this then not to do with the law and everything to do with character?
It has everything to do with character. It can't have anything to do with the law, because as far as the law is concerned, there is no case. There's no prosecution. You can't revive this. So this has everything to do with character. And the argument that is being made is as follows. If he's confirmed, you will then have two Supreme Court justices who will vote on women's rights and women's right to choose. And that will mean that you will have both Clarence Thomas and Justice Kavanaugh deciding women's issues. And if they both have this craven desire to abuse women, that surely they're never going to do anything to protect women, and they're not going to view women's rights in a way that should be viewed.
Is Kavanaugh married?
Married.
Is he married to the same woman for a number of years?
Yes.
Kids and
he's got two daughters. He by all accounts in the testimony, I think he teaches their volleyball team, volleyball team.
Oh, I hated that part where I had to go up there and talk about teaching his girls' volleyball team. I had a big laugh about this during my podcast last week, because I said it was funny. You can find it, Matt. I was looking up. I was just going through Twitter, and there was Obama, and I clicked on it, and I clicked on his Twitter, and it said, dad, husband, president, citizen. And I thought, I don't think my dad, if he was president, would have put me and my mom in front of president. It would have been president, 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 friends with Elliot Gould or something. You know, it would have been some guy he knew, like knows Dean Martin, president, president, president. And so I was laughing about
That's
it
so
because
funny.
Everything is dad. Even if you're a two-term president, you still got to put dad or father, dad, husband, president, citizen. Now, the thing that was funny is I said, all right, so there's Obama. He's got dad and husband. President is third. He's a two-termer. I said, look up Trump, because I bet he doesn't do the dad and the husband part in there. So they went and looked up Trump. And when
does Obama follow you?
I don't think so. I don't know how Twitter works. I'm going to go with no. But when I looked up Trump, I said, I'll bet it doesn't have dad and father and citizen on there. I bet we mainly focus on president part. We'll find that. We'll find that in a second.
Here we are.
Donald Trump, 45th president of the United States of America. The end. I like it when I'm right in advance. So they're not going to be able to, obviously there's nothing legal. This is all just sort of impugn his morality. Obviously a woman, a female angle is a good angle. This one is tough because I don't know how polygraphs tests work. She definitely was the word. I guess she was emotionally scarred by this, but sometimes we're not sure what the criminal and how much of the criminal's involvement involves the scarring. Like we've all done stuff to people that thought we didn't think anything about it. They thought a lot about it. We're in a new area with that.
Yeah, and the tough part, I'm thinking about one specific case that I had. I didn't try the case. The guy got convicted. They brought me in after the fact. I did the sentencing hearing. I listened to the purported victim. I had familiarized myself with the case. I talked to the client. And I honestly believed that the client didn't do what he had been convicted of. At the same time, I honestly believed that the woman 1,000% believed that it had happened.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, that's the quandary for me, is when you've got two sides and there's really no, you can't take, I've explained this to jurors in closing arguments. At a certain point, to my mind, that's the definition of reasonable doubt, by the way.
Well,
you can't get into somebody's brain. At some point, you and I talked about this years ago. When you get to the point where somehow you can activate that portion of the brain and you can press the rewind, that will be a great day.
Well, I totally believe you. I believe that this or a version of this happened. Whatever she knows or thinks is what she knows or thinks, but it still doesn't mean it was to the severity that it's being remembered or discussed. So now, predictions.
Oh, I do not see, absent her melting down on Monday, none of his protestation is going to save him at this point, which is a sea change from what I would have told you last weekend. I would have said last weekend, it looks to me like he's going to get confirmed. But if she testifies even remotely credibly, I don't see how he gets confirmed.
Really?
Yeah. And see, this was already, they were trying to fast track this before the midterms, because there's a real sense amongst my Republican friends that the House is going to go to the Democrats. And if the House goes to the Democrats, all hell's going to break loose and that they're not going to get anything done. And now there's actually the polls are indicating that there is a slim pathway where the Republicans lose the Senate.
So she gives credible testimony. He then, if you're voting, you're on record, and then whoever's voting doesn't want to deal with the baggage of that.
Well, here's another angle. On the Judiciary Committee is Senator Flake, mm-hmm. Jeff Flake. Jeff Flake has no use whatsoever for Donald Trump. I mean, he's written a book castigating him. He took great offense to the way John McCain was treated, who was his mentor by Trump. And Flake at this point is even, some people are talking about him as a potential primary challenger to Trump in 2020. If Flake flips on the Judiciary Committee such that if they do a vote, this guy knows he's not going to come out of committee with a pass, you know, or an affirmation. That's his death knell. And Flake is already sending signals. I think that's one of the reasons that they're going to delay till next week, is that Flake is sending signals that he's going to demand a hearing, and he wants to see her and see whether or not she's credible, and then see him. And I don't know if you remember, but that was some great political theater back when Anita Hill and Clarence Thomas did it.
Pube on the Coke can.
Pube on the Coke can. High tech lynching.
Yeah. That was him. Yeah. Well, we are in a world where, first off, if they can go back to high school, God save all of us.
Are you going to run for anything?
No.
Never?
I'm running from a SWAT department. If you can go back to high school, forget it. I'd have to have a number of people killed before I threw my hat in the ring. The only salvation for me, in high school, and some of the shit we did was, it sounds so fantastical and so insane that I could sit there and go, come on, who would smash human fecal matter in another man's ear during daylight hours, during school, at a school, on school campus? Please. These are ramblings of a mad person. A mad person, I tell you.
It's a different era. It's just a different era. That's all I can tell you.
All right. I will tease a question, Russia question. Where do you think we're going with the investigation? How are things shaping up? When might we bring this home? As you predicted, you know, everybody just gets sort of swept out to sea with the same tsunami. You cannot begin this process without tons of collateral damage and people you've never even heard of and people that thought, you know, when these things began, everybody who's pleading or going to jail or doing whatever, when they first heard these proceedings were underway, they thought, well, that's got nothing to do with me, so I don't have to worry about it. And then you blink your eyes and they're being perp walked somewhere.
I can hardly wait to answer this.
All right. First, I'll tell you about Lisa. Distracted, forgetting things, making mistakes at work. Quality night's sleep you need the right mattress. It makes a difference. You need that quality night's sleep. More than 30 years experience in mattress engineering and hundreds of hours of testing. Fraction of the cost of traditional mattresses. 3 foam layers provide cooling, pressure relief, body contouring, and support. You need it all at Lisa. They make a great product. Over 300,000 happy Lisa sleepers agree. Lisa, that's L-E-E-S-A.
It's a great, great bed.
Best mattress value. Order at lisa.com/doubt. The promo code doubt. Try it risk-free for 100 nights. That's over 3 months. Ships direct to your door in a convenient box. Free shipping, free returns. It's Lisa Mattress, right, Matt?
That's right. Find the right mattress for you at lisa.com/doubt and get the rest you need tonight. Get up to $160 off the Lisa mattress or $235 off the luxury Sapira mattress and free shipping on the Lisa mattress at lisa.com/doubt. Enter promo code doubt at checkout. That's LEESA.com/doubt, promo code doubt.
All right. So
it's amazing to me. We've talked about this now for going on a year. I said that, you know, everybody kept saying, oh, is it going to happen now? Is it going to happen? I said, nothing's going to happen until Manafort pleads. Until Manafort rolls, they're going to just keep marching forward. Because it reminds me, my father used to do this in closing arguments, where he'd talk about the old Japanese monster movies, where the monster is advancing on civilization and there's guns. You know, he'd liken the prosecutor to be the monster who's advancing on civilization. That's exactly what the prosecution is. They advance like a monster after their target. You can sit down there. You can shoot at them. Bullets bouncing.
Godzilla. Yeah, it angers them.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just get the word. So now they've got Manafort. That's their guy. That's what this was angled towards. That's the guy who has a history of fronting for Ukrainians and Russian. And they're going to use him at this point to indict. I mean, I don't think it'll be the president because I think Mueller is going to adhere to a DOJ policy that says you can't indict a sitting president. But I think you're going to see one of two people, either Kushner or Don Jr., in the crosshairs right now. If I were one of those two guys' lawyers, I would break the glass and be, sounding the alarm bells, because I think that's exactly where this is headed. I think that was incredibly damning news when he flipped. And frankly, if you're Trump and you thought you were going to pardon your way out of this, you should have pardoned him the minute that jury came back. And you should not have let him get to the point now where he's doing this. Because now, if you pardon him, the problem is he's already given a statement. The interesting thing about this cooperation, what they call a cooperation agreement, it's a plea agreement. And they made the statement that he'd already provided valuable information. So either he sat down with the prosecutors and did what's called a proffer, where mm-hmm. he detailed what he knows and how he knows it, and this is how we corroborate it. Or his attorney did an attorney proffer. And frankly, I think that might both may have happened. They may have done an attorney proffer and said, if you talk to him, he'll tell you this, that, and the other thing. He'll tell you that they knew, that Trump knew before. He'll tell you about the meeting. He'll tell you that we were looking to get bad information from the Russians. And then Manafort had to have met with them under a queen for a day, confirmed that information. They thought that information was so valuable that they decided to dismiss all the hung jury counts in the first trial, to give him a conspiracy count in the second as opposed to the money laundering. And both of those are significant because that takes down his potential liability from levels 23 down to much less onerous base offense levels. And he doesn't necessarily get whacked with the amount of money enhancements that he normally would have. This was a pretty good sweetheart deal for somebody who'd put the government through the tasks of going to trial, losing, and preparing for a second trial. So he must have given them kryptonite. Otherwise, this deal makes no sense whatsoever on behalf of Mueller. That's why if I'm the lawyer, I'm saying break out your emergency action, because there is something here. Mueller got some piece of information or pieces of information that allowed him to basically give away the farm in the deal.
Right, because they're going after Manafort with guns blazing, and all of a sudden they take their foot off of the accelerator and start pumping the brake, and they would never do that unless there was a whole bunch of good stuff, right?
That's exactly right. And never. And I'm telling you, I won't get into the weeds for most of the guys who practice criminal law or prosecute criminal law in listen to this show will know exactly what I'm talking about. The plea agreement was an extremely favorable plea agreement. Extremely favorable. Just by the amount of, I mean, normally on a cooperation agreement, you also tell the judge, hey, this is a 5K. The 5K is the sentencing guideline that says you're going to cooperate and you're going to do this. They were already attesting to the guy's cooperation when he entered the plea. That's virtually unheard of.
So there's got to be some good, nuggets of gold there.
Some nuggets of gold that he's singing from the prosecution script.
When do you think this thing may start to wrap up?
I don't think. And once again, here's somebody, the special counsel is somebody who by all accounts is a by-the-book guy. That's always been my impression. So by the book, even to the point where even though it's not the law, he goes by DOJ guidelines, Department of Justice guidelines. I don't think there's a 60-day window. They're not supposed to indict within the 60 days of an election. So I think nothing's going to happen before the midterms in November.
What do you think on the other side with Strzok and his girlfriend and Tex and things of that nature?
I think that's going to end up being all this is exposed, and that's why I get such a kind of a fiendish delight about it, is how political the justice system really is. And I've been complaining about this for 30 years, not just 20 years. There's always a political calculation, and if the Democrats take back the House, I just think the calculation is not much.
Right. So they're not going to have the political will to go after some of the players inside.
Who's going to do that? Why would they do that? Welcome to America.
It's getting crazy out there.
Yes, it is. And, but it's really astonishing, the pretzel logic and the positions that people put themselves in order to justify where they are.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you there's something that's there's something that bothers me a little bit, which is I think we're at a stage where if you want to do something, it's basically like you go, I want to build a house, and then they go, all right, well, we got to get the neighborhood to vote if you want to have a second story or not. And then at some point 5 years later, you go, fuck it, I'm going to buy a pup tent, live under the freeway overpass. Like, I just realized that if we have the will politically to go after this or go after that or to go after, you know, or to not get the judge confirmed or whatever it is, we'll just do it. and we'll just take, we'll just go, we'll take up the time, we'll take up the resources, we'll muck up the gears, everything will come to a stop. And now, since it's game on, it'll come from both directions. Mm-hmm. And my God, imagine trying to run a business the way our government runs itself, which is we'll just take a whole bunch of time and focus on everything but the business.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't
know. The sideshow.
How much time has been focused on, you know, whatever, crumbling schools or infrastructure or, you know, security or border security, whatever it is. It's just been one big fat argument. And when you run a law firm or you have some podcasts to get out there, you don't have a luxury of feuding with another law firm.
Right.
You have to run your own business.
You've got you got to deal with your listeners. I got to deal with clients. I got to deal with judges. You have to get advertisers. I mean, there's stuff you have to worry about.
All right. Imagine if it was like, well, Adam, you can just take 3 years and feud with Marc Maron about podcasting. And I'm not coming into work today. Well, I'm not discussing anything that has to do with work. I just want to talk about an asshole Marc Maron is. Like, but that's what you can do when you're in the government, and it's the new world order.
How much time do we have left? Because we got a couple of minutes.
Sure.
Okay. I was downtown. I just flew back in, and I was in downtown L.A. And I cannot tell you, it has gotten so. We did the Butt Boy episode, but we had to rename it. Gary renamed it Butt Boy and Willie. It has gotten to the point where. Literally, I have women who live downtown who try to get to the office two blocks away. And it's like, you talk about an assault in a high school. This is a real life assault on the street. I mean, right. Assaults on the street, real time. The cops are just, it's like they just drive by. They're not going to deal with these guys because it's an insane asylum. They have built up a bike lanes everywhere. But they've destroyed the downtown core with bike lanes. Now, I would like to ride a bike as much as the other guy, but I stopped riding bikes in La Cañada because I've seen guys get killed or hit or maimed or this. If you ride a bike downtown, good luck. God bless you.
Right.
I hope you got an insurance policy if you have a kid or something else. And traffic has become insane. If they spent one-tenth the money that they've spent on the bike lanes to try to get some mental health counseling for the psychotics who are walking the streets, it's the zombie apocalypse. And I don't understand. And now this guy wants to become president of the United States, the mayor of our city.
Oh, Garcetti. Oh. Well, that's the whole thing. You have people stabbing each other with syringes in the street, and these guys' number one focus is plastic straws.
Yeah, right. And plastic straws, right.
Which I'm all for getting rid of plastic straws as well. But first, we're going to get rid of the homeless. Right. And we're going to solve that problem. And if we have, and then we're going to fix the schools. And then we're going to fix the infrastructure. And then we're going to fix traffic. And then we're going to fix.
Well,
and then we'll fix everything. And if we have time, we'll get
understand.
To the straws.
You tell me that we needed bike lanes more and all of these stanchions that are placed in the street, and they built, you should see, go buy Engine Company. Next time you're downtown, they built this beautiful cement kind of a lift with beautiful bars around it. And I said, I'm making my prediction right now. Within 45 days, that'll be an encampment. It'll be an encampment in the middle of Figueroa that they spent, I can't even tell you how much money and time on, and I can't get a goddamn valet zone in front of the restaurant, but we can do bike lanes all over the place, and God forbid, and then I got guys coming in who want to collect their city tax. It literally is insane. The reason it's zombie apocalypse is because these people are insane. The people who run this city are insane.
Well, to be fair to them, I think they're mostly stupid. And also, they're not interested in you and what you think. You're just a guy who runs a business and pays a shitload of taxes.
A shitload of taxes, gets audited on every – by every single tax agency. I'm in. I literally am simultaneously audited by IRS, FTB, or not FTB. Give them credit. They just draft behind IRS. BOE. I just got county assessor just sent me a letter. They're auditing the personal property. I mean, sure. Really, you're going to audit the personal property? I mean, it's just.
But you got to pay your fair share, Mark. I mean, come on.
Yeah,
that's too fair.
Fair share. Fair share. If I ever, when you were in high school, since that's our thing, can you imagine if somebody had told you you'd be paying this amount in taxes that you're paying now, what you would have said? I would have called bullshit on them.
No, I would have. Too. Well, look, let's put it, I'll put it to you this way. I couldn't have fantasized realistically about earning the amount I pay in 1 year in 10 years.
Correct. That's me,
that,
too.
That would
That's
have been a bridge too far and too fantastical for me to say, how much do you pay in a year? And then could you have earned that amount in 10 years? I would have said, no. Doing what? Like, I wouldn't have been able to know.
Do you have the problem I got where my accountant, when I complain to my accountant, this is bullshit, I call bullshit, this is bullshit, and the accountant says, you should just be happy that you're making that money. So I said, no. Why should I be happy? I could have stopped working 10 years ago and lived a very quiet life in a two-bedroom place and not have to go around creating jobs, complaining constantly about the educational aptitude of the people I hire.
It's a weird – I've never really understood it, and I assume that there's a certain amount of envy or narcissism or some whatever – negative human quality you could ascribe to this. But the people that say, like, well, when are you going to have enough, or when are you going to, what's wrong with giving back a little so other people can have stuff? Well, by the way, that's not how it works. It could never work that way. You give back a lot already. So it's kind of this weird thing where you pay half your money to taxes and they go, yeah, but give a little more so other people can have stuff. And it's like, well, first off, what about the half? Yeah. I why don't you take something from that huge pot and give some to the homeless, or build a shelter, or build a bike path, or do a subway? This sort of thing of you're not doing it. And then also, yeah, if I just got off a cruise last weekend, and I worked Thursday night at the Moore Theater. Then I did shows all throughout the cruise, and I enjoyed myself, and I worked real hard, and I got paid, and the government will get paid. And then on Thursday, I'll get on an airplane, and I'll go to Wisconsin, and I'll be there for 14 hours, and I'll get paid again, and so on and so forth. That's
and
how my life
will
works.
Be, people on the cruise ship got jobs. People at the wherever you performed, there'll be service personnel who will get paid. There will be a venue operator who will make money, who will then pay taxes. There is a ripple effect. And this is what I don't understand. Why don't you want to encourage people who still will work when they don't have to, as opposed to just torturing them? Because that's really what it is. Only because I've got my own built-in apparatus where I can contest, where I can challenge idiotic stuff like the County of Orange, because they claim they didn't get their $25,000, that it wasn't postmarked the same day, it was postmarked the next day, and if I don't have proof that I actually dropped it into the goddamn mailbox, they're going to penalize me on top of the $25,000 that I just paid them. You know, it's insane, and so I'll sue them.
I'll tell you how everyone's wiring is. And everyone who's listening who's wired this way or knows anyone who's wired this way should fucking knock it off right now for you and for those around you, and especially your kids. I remember years ago I was sitting here and there was a news story, and it was Mark Zuckerberg. And the story was Mark Zuckerberg had donated $4 million to malaria research to eradicate mosquitoes or something. And my news girl at the time, not Gina, said, $4 million, that's not that much for him. And I said, well, it's $4 million more than they had before he gave him the $4 million. And she went, yeah, but he's so rich. He could afford more. And my question to everyone is, how much have you given to eradicate mosquitoes or who are infested with malaria? And if the answer is zero, well, then the answer should be, thank you, Mr. Zuckerberg.
Right.
We appreciate your donation. Now, we don't live in that world. We live in a world where people want to know why this guy doesn't do more. We shouldn't live in that world. We should live in a world where you go, thank you to him. And now, since he's given $4 million and I've given zero, I should go find a mirror and figure out what my grievance is.
I couldn't agree more. And I just don't get it. I don't understand the mentality. There is no logic to it. Mm. Mind you, there's no economic theory to it. None.
No.
I mean, I've never seen an economic theory that holds weight on this.
All right. We could do another 2 hours, so we'll stop and pick it up when we come
Sorry,
back.
Sorry, Matt. Matt, you okay, Matt?
Oh, hell yeah. I love listening to you guys talk. No problem.
Look, the world is weak. The world is soft, and the world is weak. And I will remove myself from this equation, but there are far fewer Mark Garagus's and Mark Zuckerbergs and far more Chris Carolla, my mom, and everyone else who's taken freebies. So you have this huge army of people that are going, I don't get it. He's got enough money. Why does he need two cars? Or how come these people can't? And of course, there's a army of those people. And the guys like you are few and far between. So when it comes to who's getting the popular vote, it's going to be them and not you.
And God forbid that you articulate it.
Now, we used to have a society where it was dad's job and sometimes mom's job to say, hey, son, don't you say anything negative about Mr. Garagus. He's the guy who keeps the lights on over here. Just because he drives a big car and lives in a big house, that should be something for you to aspire to. So put that rock down, don't throw it at his big car, and you hit the books harder, and maybe one day you'll be like Mr. Garagus. That was the parents' job. Now the parents have their arms folded, and they're going, yeah, fuck that guy. So it's the parents' fault. And it's now enough years has gone by, and there's a large army of these idiots out there, and a very small group of people like you, and who's going to win? Everyone gets a vote.
Yep.
All right. You guys should go to Adam.
And on that note,
you should go to adamcarolla.com. And by the way, people text me all the time. Like, oh, so you don't think you should pay? Look, fuck you. It'll never work. Your math will never work with me. You'll never convince me for 10 seconds.
Let me just tell you something.
You'll never convince me.
I have had guys who work for me who make a good money, who if their taxes are $22 off, are in my face as if I've personally robbed them for their $22.
You'll never convince this guy with zero education from North Hollywood, who's never even collected unemployment. You will never convince me that me paying what a school teacher pays in a year in 3 days of work, that somehow I owe the school teacher an apology, perhaps Uncle Sam the apology, and you on Twitter an apology. You will never convince me. You can try. You can call me what an asshole I am. You can convince me that I'm not paying my fair share. You can convince me I'm a bad dad and a bad citizen. It will never, ever work because you'll never convince me of that math. Ever. All right. Now, if my dad was rich and I got a lot of government deals or handouts or whatever,
if I'm not paying taxes.
Or
you
not
know?
Paying, if yeah, I have if offshore not, accounts.
Right, if I got offshore accounts, I'm with you.
Right, all right.
Jesus.
Go to adamcarolla.com and find out about all the live shows coming up everywhere and Chassis. CHASSY. We got lots of good offerings there and lots of good movies. And Penn Sunday School, you can check that out on Podcast One as well, wherever you find podcasts. What do you got, Mark?
I got Engine Company 28 downtown. We're investigating right now doing a takeout in the bike lane that's blocking our valet from being able to be there. We've got Tenny Mediterranean Tapas. We've got The V Palm Springs. We're coming into the perfect season there. Casa Tropicana.
You got to check that place out.
Right, Matt?
Casa Tropicana. Beautiful resort.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
something else.
Until next time, Adam Carolla for Mark Garagos saying mahala.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. This is Corolla Digital.